I'm John Kroll. Today's No Limits is going to be a sweet and tasty experience. We're going to talk about pies, pies, and more pies. We'll discuss what makes for the great holiday pie, and we'll explore other great baking memories. My guests for this savory show are Jolene Ketzenberger, the host of Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI 90.1 HD2 The Point, and Mary Alice Collins, State Fair Master's Award for Baking. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits at WFYI.org. Facebook is nolimits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. This is going to be a fun show today. We are going to be talking about pies and really baking other holiday treats here on the show. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you'd like to call and either request a recipe or share one or just talk about what your favorite kind of pie is and why, this is the show for you. We hope you'll call in at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, my guests are Jolene Ketzenberger, who is the host of Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI 90.1 HD2 The Point, and Mary Alice Collins, who is a State Fair Master's Award winner. Well, Jolene, Mary Alice, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I'm going to start. Jolene, I'll start with you, if I could. Give me a definition. What is a great holiday pie? How do we define what would be a great holiday pie?
Well, I think the great holiday pie is whatever one that lives in your memory as a great holiday pie, whether it's your mom's pumpkin pie or grandma's pecan pie. Or, you know, even the sort of homey sugar cream pie, you know, that is very popular here in Indiana. Any of those, you know, anything like that is, I think, the great holiday pie. For me, you know, I do like pie. I like pie better than cake. It's one of my favorite desserts. So I'm pretty good with any of them.
Mary Alice, what makes, why is it that we love pie as much as we do?
Well, I think everybody is a pie lover. I was always told from the very beginning when I was young, a way to a man's heart is a good pie. And I think everybody loves almost any kind of a fruit pie or a cream pie. That's just something that is best for their diet.
And I should say, we're off to the races on this. We've gotten our first tweet in record time here. This comes from a listener named John. If you'd like to reach out to us via Twitter, you can do so at WFYI. John says the banana cream pie at the Apple Pan in Los Angeles is the gold standard pie for me. In terms of making pies, I'm going to get away because it sounds like the other thing, this is one of the things that makes this such a great debate, is there's really no ultimate answer to it. It's really comes down to personal preference, personal
exactly.
taste, and all of that. So we can discuss it endlessly. Yes, Mary Alice.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I said it sounded like you wanted to jump into the conversation. So
No, I'm fine.
Oh, okay. Well, so what I'd like to ask is, which pies, for those who are beginning to think about holiday gatherings and all of that, maybe first-time bakers or early bakers, which ones are the easiest to do? And then after that, I think you know, I'm going to ask which ones would be the hardest to do. Mary Alice, I'll start with you.
Okay. Actually, I think that almost any pie is easy as long as they follow the recipe. One of the easiest pies I find is a open pie, like a coconut cream pie, because it's very easy to bake. And if you have a good pie crust, which I know I have a recipe for a no-fail pie crust, but my family has used for years since I was little and 4-H. I prefer making your cream pies like coconut cream or banana or even better, scotch.
Okay. Jolene, easiest ones.
You know, I think it's probably a fruit pie, and my idea about pies is just bake the pie. You know, don't get too wound up in am I doing it right. So if you want to bake a pie and if you want to buy a refrigerated pie crust, you can buy a refrigerated pie crust. You can buy canned pie filling and just give it a try and bake something. So I think something like that would be very easy for someone to start with. You know, it's not hard. You could put that together, and then that will lead you on to making your own crust and making your own fillings.
So what is the secret for though a truly memorable pie experience? And I guess the springboard for this, just before we went on the air, Jolene and I were treated to. A soliloquy from the show's producer, Shannon Cagle, about the virtues of one kind of pie crust over another and why one is superior and another is subordinate to that. So obviously, in Shannon's case, the crust is key.
Oh, the crust is key. Absolutely. I think the crust is key, and I don't mind making pie crust. I know a lot of people feel it's too difficult or something they don't want to tackle, and that's okay. Like I said, there are refrigerated pie crusts out there that are perfectly serviceable. But I do like to make a nice pie crust, and you want it to be tender and flaky, and sometimes that's a hard combination to achieve.
Okay. Mary Alice, you said a couple of minutes ago you have a recipe for a no-fail delicious pie crust.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something?
And I agree with her.
Okay.
I like my homemade pie crust. My pie crust that I use, of course, I use lard.
Okay.
If a person cannot use lard, they can use your butter Crisco. The pie crust that I always use and have used since I was in 4-H is just 3 cups of flour, teaspoon of salt, a cup of lard,
okay.
Or if I'm using butter shortening, I use a cup plus a tablespoon.
Okay.
And then I use a third of a cup of cold water,
okay.
One egg, which gives it a golden color, and a tablespoon of vinegar, which makes it very crispy. As was mentioned, you do want your pie crust flaky. You want it tender and one that you can roll out easily. This particular pie crust, you do want to make ahead and let it set in the refrigerator an hour or overnight before you roll it out, and there'll be no problems in rolling it out. My son had never baked a pie before, and when I came home from the hospital, he said, "When you come home, I'm going to make you an apple pie," and he did.
Aww.
And it turned out delicious using my recipes that I have used for years.
Well, and I'm seriously hoping someone on our production team was transcribing while you were describing that, and we can put that on our social media on our Facebook page. You can find us at No Limits WFYI, and we'll try to get Mary Alice's pie crust, no fail pie crust recipe there. In terms of that, though, you really have to make a commitment then. I mean, to do this well, you say you got to leave it overnight. Mary Alice, is that is
better
that correct?
If you leave it overnight, it will roll out a lot easier for you. I have rolled it out right away, but it's a little more tricky. I just like to leave it for at least an hour in the refrigerator, or even better, overnight. And we do bake it at 425 degrees for 15 minutes, and then put it down to 375 and bake it until the pie is done. Another thing that I'd like to mention here that is a secret in making pies is you want to bake them on the bottom rack of your oven.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're doing an open pie such as a cream pie, then I bake it in the middle of the oven. And there's lots of little tips. Don't know how much you'd like for me to give you. That can be a secret in making a good pie come out delicious for your family.
Well, we've got an hour, and I can tell we're already starting to get phone calls on this. People apparently really love pie and are interested in it. I'm going to ask Jolene real quickly, do you have the equivalent of a no-fail recipe for pie crust as well? Is it any different than Mary Alice's?
You know, I think most pie crusts are pretty much the same. You know, you have your basic ingredients. You know, sometimes they do call for a little bit of vanilla or a little bit of vinegar. You know, sometimes some pie crusts call for a little bit of sugar if you want a little bit of a sweeter pie crust. You know, but they're all variations on those same proportions.
Okay. If you are just joining us, we are talking about the great holiday pie and other baking memories here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you either want to request a recipe or share one, please give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Jacob, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
I have a question. I'm a huge lemon meringue pie fan. I love lemon meringue everything. And I had a hiccup. And I've attempted to make lemon meringue pies like 4 or 5 times in my life, and I've never made pies in my life except lemon meringue. Mm-hmm. I've done it once successfully. Every other time I've done it, the meringue does not settle. And I was wondering if either one of your two guests had any comments or tips about how to make like a meringue settle a little bit easier when cooking. And I can take my answer off the air.
Thanks very much for the call. We will try to get you an answer, Jacob. Mary Alice, do you have some advice?
On meringue pies, of course, it is one of the difficult ones. I find that when you beat the egg whites, you want to make sure that you beat them just slightly before you put the cream of tartar in it, and then bake it, whip it until it is forming soft peak with the sugar in it until it's a good peak. Putting it on the pie, I find that you definitely want to make sure that the meringue is brought clear out to the edge of your pie crust so that it does not shrink away from the edges. And I make sure that I have plenty of meringue so I can make some good peaks to it. Then baking it in the oven, 325 to 350 for about 15 minutes or until it's a golden brown.
What do you mean you keep using the phrase peaks? And I got to admit, I'm a non-baker here. So what do you mean by that? I'm going to ask the stupid questions that other people might be afraid to.
No, that's okay. When you put the egg white mixture on the pie, after you have beaten it up with the sugar and the cream of tartar, et cetera, some people just round it off.
Okay.
But I take a edge of a spoon or a knife, and then I just pour up on the meringue so that it makes like a peak like you see on a mountain.
Okay. Okay, so it's primarily a visual element to the creation of the pie, but does it affect the taste of it at all?
No, it doesn't affect the taste of it at all. It's just more for decorative.
Okay, so it's a presentation thing. Jolene,
correct.
And Jolene's showing me stuff on her phone here. So, Jolene, do you have any advice for Jacob in terms of lemon meringue that Mary Alice did not cover?
No, I don't. You know, meringue is a little bit of a challenge, and I also echo the tip about bringing the meringue all the way over to the edge of the pie crust so that it, like she said, so that it doesn't pull away, and so then it would shrink, and so then you have the space between the meringue and the pie crust, which, you know, doesn't look very good. You know, meringues do tend to weep. You know, they get those little droplets of moisture on the top. So it is a challenging one, but it sure is pretty. You know, it's hard to beat that presentation of a beautiful, really high meringue with those little nice brown peaks on top.
Is it the toughest pie to make, Jolene?
I don't know. I think it might be up there just because there are techniques in, you know, how long do you beat the, you know, we're trying to get to the peaks, you know, and, you know, so I think that there are, you know, some challenges involved in there because you've got the crust and you've got the filling and you've got the meringue, too. So, you know, there's different parts of that.
Okay. We are talking about pies here on No Limits, and I can see we're getting phone calls. Twitter is just absolutely exploding for us right now in regard to pies. So I'm going to ask our listeners, obviously, to be ready as soon as we get to your question, because clearly there are a lot of questions to be asked about pies out there. We are, again, talking with Jolene Ketzenberger, who is the host of Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI 90.1 HD2, The Point, and Mary Alice Collins, who is the State Fair Master's Award winner for baking here on No Limits. If you'd like to join this conversation, a lot of you seem to, the way to do it is call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the great holiday pie. We're really talking all things pie here on No Limits. My guests are Jolene Ketzenberger, who is the host of Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI 90.1 HD2, The Point, and Mary Alice Collins, who is a State Fair Master's Award winner for baking. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Carrie has done and give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Hi. So I love pie. I can't even tell you how much I love pie.
Okay.
It's almost kind of a joke in my family for any kind of holidays. Someone always makes a pie just specifically for me. My favorite, cherry and key lime. My mom makes the best key lime pie that I've ever had. No one has ever made one as good as my mom makes it.
What makes her so special, if I could?
You know, she makes hers really tart.
Okay.
She doesn't do a meringue. That's kind of another thing, too, for me, is like any restaurant I go to, if they have either key lime pie or, well, my summer favorite is strawberry shortcake, either one of those on the menu, I try it just because I like to see how many different types are out there. Hers is just this really tart, fresh lime flavor. She uses key lime juice. I can't remember the name of it, but it's not a name brand associated with key lime pie. I bartend and I run a restaurant for a living, and so I've actually used it in cocktails before, and it works out really, really well for like nice summery drinks too. But I can't remember what it's called offhand, but she uses that and it makes amazing, wonderful flavors. But I think, and I don't know if you've discussed already, is for me, what really makes the pie is the crust. There just needs to be just this, sometimes they make it oversweet. I like a nice, almost savory crust. I like it a little sweet, but I definitely like it more on that nice savory side of things. I think it just, whenever you have a really sweet pie, and if you make the crust over sweet, that it kind of overdoes it, but it gives a nice balance when you have this nice savory crust to it. So this is kind of a topic I thought I'd throw out for you guys.
Thanks very much. You're just making everyone hungry here, but thanks very much for the call, Carrie.
Yeah,
we really appreciate it. Take care. Thanks.
A pretzel crust is nice with a key lime pie because you get that saltiness. You know, like if you make it with crushed up pretzels, and you make kind of a crust that way, so the saltiness goes nice with a key lime pie.
So is this a little bit like there are, you know, they say in music circles, there are Elvis people and there are Beatle people. There are, you know, filling people and crust people in the pie world. I mean, because it's clear that the crust is really important to several people we've talked to already.
And maybe it is. I don't know. I like the whole thing because I think it's a nice, I like, you know, the bite that you have, you know, the filling and the crust, you know, as well. So yeah, I think they're both key.
We've gotten a tweet from a listener named Liz, and if you want to reach out to us via Twitter, you can do so at WFYI. Liz says, love the pie discussion. I can make a decent pie, but when time is short, why is a good pie shop so hard to find in Indy? Jolene, where would you recommend if you are in a hurry and you want a good pie?
Well, you know, there are a number of places that make pies. One of the ones that I was just at the other day is called Locally Grown Garden. and the chef there does.
That's a tweet also from a listener named David. So you anticipated that one.
He does sugar cream pie and I apple pie as well, and various other ones. But I've had a slice of the apple and the sugar cream just last week. So there are places around town. I could look them up and tell them to you. But there's My Sugar Pie is somebody. I believe that's in Zionsville. I don't know. There really are more than you think, I believe.
This show is taking a whimsical turn. We've gotten a tweet from a listener named Cantankerous, who identifies himself or herself as Cantankerous Chris, asking the question, why doesn't rhubarb pie resonate with people? And then adds, we need to discuss using vodka instead of water and crust.
Oh, well, both of those. I think rhubarb pie is a big thing. You just have to tune into Prairie Home Companion, to hear a little bit, about rhubarb pie. I love rhubarb pie, and it's an old fashioned homey kind of thing. And of course, it goes very nice with strawberries. So you hear a lot about strawberry rhubarb pie, but of course, that's just a springtime thing.
Mary Alice, I want to ask, picking up sort of on Chris's point, though. Are there great pies out there that people just don't think of, like rhubarb, or that there's some pushback in regard to embracing them when really they shouldn't be, that they're great taste treats?
Actually, there's some of the pies that you wouldn't think of making. One is called a grape pie, which you make with Concord grapes. A lot of people don't understand what a grape pie even is. And, of course, one of the favorites that we do, and it's a good holiday pie, is your mincemeat pie. Made without meat, though. This is just your mincemeat, and I know that was one that I won sweepstakes on at the Indiana State Fair one year with the little decorative top crust that I make. But grape is one. I think mincemeat is one. Like Ben said, rhubarb is unusual. Strawberry rhubarb is probably one that more people will make. And then I also made what was just called a fruit cup pie. It's made with all different kinds of fruit that some people probably wouldn't think of. They generally think of apple or peach or apricot and didn't think about maybe mixing all of those fruits together.
Is it more difficult to do that? Is there a reason that people push back on that, Mary Alice?
I don't think there is. I think it's mainly just being able to find a recipe that they really trust and they know that is a good one. Just looking in cookbooks, going and Googling it on the Internet, because they've been tried by other people. So they should be good. But they're just unusual pies, I think, that they don't think of on that part of it.
Gotten a tweet from a listener named Shannon who says, can someone tell me why sugar cream pie is the iconic Hoosier pie? And also ask the guests, pumpkin or sweet potato?
Oh, well, I would go with pumpkin.
Okay.
Between pumpkin and sweet potato. And sugar cream pie, it has a long heritage, in Indiana.
Hasn't even been certified by the state legislature at one point.
Well, it's not officially our official state pie, but the legislature recommended that it be, recommended that it be our state pie, but it was never. It's not a law. But it was. It was recommended.
It's good to know that there are some things that they don't want.
And of course, Wix, pies. They make a lot of sugar cream pie.
Okay, Mary Alice, how about you?
I think also there's different kinds of sugar cream pie. I know the one that I make. Actually, I mix it up, and it sits in the refrigerator overnight, and then I pour it into my unbaked shell and bake it the next day. But some people actually, when they make a sugar cream pie, they do all of the cooking of it on top of the range and then put it into the pie shell and put it in the refrigerator. So there's many different kinds of sugar cream pie. Some are easier than the other, I think, also, Joan.
Mary Ellis, where do you go for your recipes? Because you seem to be a veritable encyclopedia of pie recipes here. Where do you find them?
Well, actually, I have to say that I go back to my mother, who was also an excellent pie baker. We were mother-daughter pie bakers at the state fair. And she would try a lot of recipes, pass them on to us. But I think one of the places that I actually get is I look in magazines like Taste of Home. I look in all different kinds of cookbooks. If you were to come to my home and see the many, many, many cookbooks that I have, and I just go to where pie baking is, and I start looking through these books, and I think, that sounds like a good one. Let's try it and see if it works. And then you make your own alterations to it if it's not exactly right. So even going on the Internet, they have many pie recipes there, too. But I think a person just has to look, and find one that they think is good for them, sounds good to make, and try it.
We are talking about pies, and more pies here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I was fortunate enough growing up that my brothers got stuck going out to work in the field, and Grandma put her foot down and said, he's staying in the house and helping me cook. So I was raised to cook like my grandmother. And if I'd like some advice from people on your program, apple pie is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's always better to change the variety of the apples I use. Not all grannies, not all Red Delicious, not all this and that. I think it helps with the flavor. And also, I like to pre-cook my apple filling a little bit first. I think I found when I piled all the raw apples in the shell and covered it, when it baked, the crust would stay high, the apples would lower, and then when you cut it, you've got a broken crust. Is there a way to change that?
Good question. Good comments. I'm going to start with Jolene, but thanks very much for the call and the questions, Jeff.
You know, I do like to use a variety of apples in a pie. You know, when you have, when you have the time to, go to the store and pick out particular apples, specifically for a pie. I mean, if you just have apples sitting at home and you want to make a pie, then, sure, go ahead and make a pie. But if you're really, wanting to, think about, the best apples for the job, a nice variety is good. The Granny Smiths, which are very tart, and the some of the other varieties, which are, they have other things going for them. Some are juicier, some are sweeter. So a nice variety is good. I don't really like Red Delicious. I'm not a Red Delicious fan. I don't think it has a lot of flavor. They are pretty, and that's what they're for. They were bred to be pretty, right? Red Delicious, and they are lovely. But I don't really like to use them in a pie. But I do like the variety of apples. So I think that's good. And I do tend to, pile mine up in the pie crust. I usually, cut up the apples and, add the brown sugar and the cinnamon and a little bit of lemon juice and things like that. And then I do tend to just, let that sit and get the nice juices going and then put it in the pie crust like that. But some people do, pre-cook their filling.
Mary Alice, secrets to apple pie.
I have to admit, I am a person who does pre-cook all of my fillings.
Okay.
This is what I was taught by my mother, that you can tell exactly the consistency of your pie before it goes into the oven, and therefore you'll make sure it's not too runny or too thick. So I am one who does pre-cook all of the fillings, and starting out with, the flour and the sugar and the thickener and the juice until it gets thick enough before I put my fruit in it. I would like to comment on the apple kinds. I agree that a variety of apples are very good. I have to admit, one that I have used and won many years on is just yellow delicious apples. Mother used to use the Gala apple. Any of those are very good. And I was also reading and learned that to use more than one type of apple in a pie is also good. Use a couple kinds. Mix them up, and that gives a very good flavor to the pie also. And that, again, is, I think, something that person just has to try and see what they like best. Many people do use the Granny Smith, but I've used that with another apple, actually because I like the flavor of it better.
Gotten a tweet from a comment from someone identified as, the S is squared. I think an underappreciated pie is rhubarb, which we've already talked about. Point I think that is interesting here says, besides being delicious, it amusingly looks like celery. How much of the pie eating experience is in, because we were talking about the peaks and all of that, also is in the presentation. You know, there are, it's almost a cliche, at least in our house, when my wife bakes a pie or whatever, we all sort of stand around it and say, gosh, that looks pretty, or whatever, that is part of the experience too. Mary Alice, I'm going to start with you.
Okay, so your question is
how much of it is the visual, the presentation? Yeah,
how much delicious it is.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't know that you should always go by the look, because sometimes you might look at a pie and you might say, oh, that doesn't even look good to taste. But you need to taste it. You need to make sure that the filling is better than what it looks like. I think presentation of a pie is very, very important. I really do. And rhubarb pie, again, is one that probably doesn't look the best when you cut into it. But yet, if you put it with strawberries or something else that is a more colorful part, it's good. I always like my rhubarb. When I collect it from my home garden, I want to make sure I have some red rhubarb and some green, so that it's not just all a celery looking of a green look to it. I think also the presentation of a pie, especially the top of the pie, I have to comment here that when we enter our pies, we use what we call a crisscross top that we make ourselves by cutting very little strips that are only about probably between an eighth and a fourth of an inch wide, and then we interlace them on top of each other until it makes a beautiful pie on the top of it, rather than just one that you roll out with one of these commercial tops that you can buy that they say they're lattice working. But making your own crisscross top, and I do that on the rhubarb pie so that it looks more attractive too.
Jolene, how important is the presentation?
Oh, I think the presentation, you know, that's what gets people. You know, when there's a pie cooling on the kitchen counter, you know, people walk by and it's like, oh man, you know, that pie looks great, you know. And, you know, if it's, you know, a beautiful golden top or maybe a crumble top on it, or, you know, like she said, a beautiful lattice, which are harder than that you might think, trying to weave those pieces in together.
That's correct.
It is harder, and you get kind of off, and then it's just because I messed up on my weaves before and trying to weave those pieces together, which is why leads people to buy those ones where you just cut it out and it's just a little checkerboard. But so I think it's very important, you know, and yes, rhubarb isn't necessarily one of those prettier fillings, you know, because when I was little, my mom would be cooking the rhubarb, and I always thought it kind of had sort of a snot sort of look about it. You know, it is not.
She says amusingly, like celery, you go the other direction.
Well, I mean, when it's cooked, you know, it does look a bit like a stalk of celery when it's pulled right out of the garden. You know, but I like rhubarb. I like it because it's so tart, and that you can add the strawberries to it, and it's not overwhelmingly sweet. And I like it because it's old fashioned. My grandma would have called it pie plant. That's what she called rhubarb.
We've got just a few seconds before we have to go to a break. We've got a question from a listener named Chris, who says, "Are there other nut pies like pecan? Any others that we can think of?"
Well, I've had walnut, particularly with like cranberries and apple, like an apple walnut pie.
Okay. Any other nut pies that you can think of, Mary Alice, in about 20 seconds?
I think that's true. Like, they generally think of pecan. Okay. But I have what is known as a walnut pie, and it tastes very, very good. And actually, you can use almonds in some of your pies, too. That makes a little different flavor to them. So there are other nut pies that they just go in there and check some of the recipes. You'll be surprised maybe what people use. Macadamia can be used in a pie, too.
I'll tell you what, Mary Alice, we're going to have to get that on the other side. We are talking about pies here on No Limits. My guests are Jolene Ketzenberger and Mary Alice Collins. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about pies here on No Limits today, having a really fun discussion, and a lot of listeners want to join in. My guests are Jolene Ketzenberger, who is the host of Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI 90.1 HD2 The Point, and Mary Alice Collins, who is a State Fair Master's Award winner for baking. Mary Alice, just before we went to the break, you were talking about other forms of nut pies besides pecan. We had to cut you off to get to the break. I just wanted to make sure you had a chance to finish your point.
Yeah, I was just saying a macadamia pie is also very, very good. I'm not for sure where that got said. It's very rich, like a pecan pie is. And like I said, you can use almonds in like your cherry pie. You can use different kind of nuts in pies. One of the pies that is one of our favorites and that we have won on is called an apple caramel walnut pie. And so you make quite a combination there of mixing all of those together. So you can use nuts in many pies that you maybe never thought you could.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Mary Beth, and she puts it all in capital letters to make sure it catches my attention here. And if you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can do so at nolimits@wfyi.org. It says, you never got to the question about using vodka instead of water in crust. What chemistry is involved? Jolene.
Oh, well, that's because, you know, the more water makes the crust easier to work, but more water also makes it tougher. So you want some liquid, you know, but the less water, the better. So since vodka is 60% water, you know, it's not all water. So it's liquid, but not water.
Okay.
So there you go. So a vodka pie crust, you can, if you used a quarter cup of cold vodka and a quarter cup of cold water, then you've got a half a cup of liquid without a half a cup of water.
Okay.
So that makes it easier without, you know, making it tougher.
Is that the proportion you would use, 50-50? Because I think that's what Mary Beth's question was getting to.
Yeah.
Here.
So here's the classic vodka pie crust proportions. So it's 2.5 cups of your flour, a teaspoon of salt. This uses 2 tablespoons of sugar, 12 tablespoons of cold unsalted butter, so it's cut into little pieces, a half a cup of shortening, vegetable shortening. And then it uses a quarter cup of vodka and a quarter cup of cold water.
Okay. I hope that answers the question, Mary Beth. If not, shoot us another email and we'll take another run at it. We are talking about pies here on No Limits. Arlene, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Certainly.
And to your guests, too. I'm nostalgic about pies because when I baked for my children when they were younger and there would be leftover pie crust, we'd always roll it, pat it, cut it out, and add cinnamon sugar and bake it for a treat while the pie was cooking.
Oh, absolutely.
And then I have to just put in a little plug, if I'm allowed to. My daughter Julie and her friend Heather have a business called Indy's Upper Crust, where they bake pies
That's
to
right.
order and
That's
specialty
right.
pies that people can order online. So just wanted to share that. And the pies are delicious.
Yeah, we have gotten, we're getting, I'm going to try to get to these toward the end of the program. A lot of listeners, primarily via Twitter, have been sending in recommendations for places that you can buy pies, and that one has made the list a couple of times already.
Oh, bless them.
Yes.
And I want to say sometimes with pie crust, I've added things like cardamom, and of course there's always a little spicier additions you can add to the pie crust to make it unique, but appreciate the opportunity to share that.
Oh, certainly. Thank you for the call, Arlene.
Okay.
Really appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
And I still do that. I always take the little bits of leftover pie dough and roll them out and sprinkle it with sugar and cinnamon and then roll it up into a little log, and I bake that too. And my mom did it. I did it. And my kids like that too. It wouldn't be a pie if I didn't do that.
So let me ask you a question here of both of you. You know, I we've got a lot of questions backed up here, and I promise we'll get to them. But I'm just curious about this. What's the best part of the pie experience, making it or eating it? Mary Alice, I'll start with you, okay? What's the most satisfying for you, making it or eating it?
Oh, you're going to start with me?
Yes, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. Well, satisfaction for me is making it, and I want to make one that I think that everybody will enjoy eating. But different times when I've been having people coming out, and I have just made a pie and come out of the oven, and of course they're all saying, yummy, yummy, we got to eat this pie, it looks so good. So probably most people say eating of the pie is the most satisfaction.
Jolene.
You know, I like to bake. So mm-hmm. for me, it's not really a chore. You know, I like mm-hmm. to bake. I like to, you know, get out my mom's rolling pin and roll out the pies, you know, with that. So, I really like baking them. You know, although here's one thing, and maybe Mary Alice, maybe she can help me out with this. I have always wanted to bake a pie with a pie bird in it. You know, because I cut slits in the top to let the steam out. But there are little pie birds that you can bake. You can bake in a pie, you know, like the nursery rhyme, and then it peeks up through the top crust and it lets out the steam. And so I've always wanted to bake a pie with a pie bird, but I never have.
Have you, Mary
Alice? I have not either. That's something that I have not tried to do, I'm sorry to say.
And how much of this, I noticed, and I promise, listeners, I will get back to your questions, but I am curious about this because it does seem that part of the satisfaction, too, is that it is one of these ritual or legacy. You've both made reference to several of our callers about the fact that it was something they did with their mothers or their grandmothers, and there's this sense of connection there. I will start with you on that, Mary Alice.
I think this is very true. Being that I come from a family of, we had four girls, and we were always taught to be in the kitchen with our mother. And, of course, she learned from her mother. So it does go back to grandmother and mothers. But there's just something about the learning from someone that has had experience of it before you have. I'm a graduate of Purdue University, but I have to say I learned as much, if not more, of pie baking from my mother and being in the kitchen and just seeing mistakes that she made, and we'd say, okay, we got to correct that. It's just a tradition, I think, that people need to bring their children into the kitchen while they're little and let them experiment, let them try something, even if it doesn't turn out the first time. But it has a lot of meaning and fellowship as far as the family's concerned.
Jolene.
You know, I just think that it's the connection. You know, that's what food does. You know, it gives us a connection to where we're from and who we're from. And it, you know, it you know, evokes memories, you know. So I just think it's that connection to our heritage or even, you know, what we want to do and what we want to learn about and what we want to be, you know, so you can explore, you know, things you want to know about.
I've gotten an email from a listener named Craig, and if you'd like to reach out to us via email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Craig says, in my Indiana youth, every church social I went to featured gooseberry pie. What happened to gooseberry pie? Jolene, I'll start with you.
Well, I think you can still find gooseberry pie filling in the stores, you know, if you look for it. I see it at my supermarket. You know, it's just one of those pies that sort of, you know, that have, you know, fallen out of favor, you know, like the grape pies. It's just a very old-fashioned kind of pie. Again, you know, it's not flashy. You know, mm-hmm. it's not brightly colored. You know, it doesn't make the prettiest filling. But yeah, you can still find it. And I think it's those kind of pies are probably worth seeking out just to be able to taste it.
Mary Alice, are there other kinds of old-fashioned pies that we ought to rediscover?
And you know, that was unusual because one of the things when I had a chance, I was going to say that gooseberry pie is another one of those unusual ones. I think the one thing you've got to remember on gooseberry pie, Mother used to raise her own gooseberries until we couldn't, you know, the vines wouldn't go anymore. But I'd rather go pick them off of the vine than I would buy them in the store, and I don't like the canned ones particularly. But in using gooseberries, if you want color in that, you want to make sure the gooseberries have a red color, that they're really ripe along with the green ones. But a gooseberry pie is a tart pie, so I think that's why a lot of people maybe do not care for it as well, but our family loves it. I think another old-fashioned pie is called oatmeal pie. Some people call it poor man's pecan pie, but an oatmeal pie is made with the oatmeal. And You can you don't use the nuts in it, but it's a very good old-fashioned pie also, I think. Sugar cream, of course, is always one. I was trying to think. There was one more. It's not coming to me right now. A chess pie is another one that I think is very similar to some of your, like, pecan pie and oatmeal pie, but a lot of people don't use the chess pie anymore. They can't find a recipe, but they're out there also.
We are talking about pies here on No Limits. Norm, welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon, and good afternoon to you, Jess, and happy holiday. And it's very peculiar that she would mention the chess pie. I've been married almost 40 years. My wife makes chess pie every year for Christmas and Thanksgiving. But the pie that I'm calling to tell you about, I haven't heard mentioned, is a vinegar pie.
Oh, yeah. We've got an email or a Facebook question from a listener named Joe about vinegar pies, too.
So, and how we can vinegar pies, real quick, and I'll let you go, my friend. This Mother's Day, my wife and I was in the store. I was going to make some homemade ice cream. Ran across another customer in the store, and he said he was going to go home and make his mom a vinegar pie. And we were curious about it. He gave us a recipe. My wife tried it at Thanksgiving, and it was amazing. It's sort of like a chess pie, but it was very good. I have to admit, I thought I was going to cringe. You know, I just knew it was going to be horrible. But it was actually very, very, very good. So I suggest for one to give it a try. And happy holiday to you and to all of you and your family. Take care.
Same to you. Thanks very much for the call, Norm. Certainly. Well, Joe's Facebook question says, in Park County, Rock Run Cafe has vinegar pie on the menu. They say it was created during the Depression, with vinegar being used as a substitute for more expensive ingredients like lemons. Have either of your guests ever heard of vinegar pie, and do they know if it is unique to Indiana?
You know, I don't think it's unique to Indiana, but yeah, it's one of those old-fashioned recipes. You know, you make it's a cream pie. You know, it's along those sugar cream pie lines. You know, and of course the vinegar would, you know, add some nice tartness to cut all the sweetness of that sort of pie. So it's one of those old-fashioned recipes.
And I'm going to ask you, Mary Alice, how would you go about making a vinegar pie?
You know, I knew you was going to ask me on that. I have heard of it.
Yeah.
I have not made a vinegar pie. That's something that several people ask. Well, have you ever made a vinegar pie? No, I found the recipe for one, but I just haven't tried it. So that's something I can't answer for you.
What is the most unusual pie you have ever made, Mary Alice?
Actually, I'm trying to think. Probably gooseberry is one that most people think very unusual, that people just don't like it. And I have made that, and I do like it. Otherwise, I try to, I guess, mix a lot of fruits together. I have a multi-berry pie that I make, and when I went on it, I took some of the cherry pie filling I had left and the raspberry pie filling I had left and the actually blackberry. It was berries that I had left from making actual berry pies, and I just mixed them all together one year and entered it as a do-your-own-thing pie, and, of course, won on it. And that's something I think people, again, do not try. Just take a little this, a little that you have left and mix it together and see how your family likes it.
We've gotten an email from someone who is an anonymous grandmother. It says, as for pie birds, I can recommend a good Hoosier pie bird in several colors from Clay City Pottery in Clay City, Indiana. Fourth generation company being run by mom and her 20-something son. Very inexpensive. If you trek to stop in Clay City, and the deep dish pie plates are well under $20 at the source. Discover this place as you will be glad you did. Grandma on fixed income is giving these facts to each of her families, giving these to each of her families on Christmas, and we're supposed to keep that a secret. So we're not. That's why we do
right.
not have
that's right.
why we do not have the name here. So I'm going to ask real quickly, and then I do want to get to some of the places that people have called and recommended for places where you can buy pies or whatever. We obviously have huge holidays coming up. You know, what are your pie choices or creations going to be for this holiday season? Mary Alice, I will start with you. What's going to be served at your house?
For the holiday season, our family loves pecan pie, and butterscotch pie is one that my son, my daughter have to have because they say that is just a holiday pie. It's a rich pie, and we can't have a meal without it. And, of course, another one is my apple walnut caramel pie because it's also very good for the holidays.
Okay. Jolene.
So I have one of my kids loves apple pie. That's his favorite. He asks for apple pie on his birthday instead of cake. So I'll probably be making.
You put a candle in the middle of it, or is there? How do you do that?
Absolutely, okay. We do. Okay. We light the candles on the pie.
Just checking.
So I'll be making an apple pie, which I did for Thanksgiving as well. And I'll probably be making pumpkin because another one of the kids particularly likes pumpkin. So I kind of have two apple fans and a pumpkin fan. So those will be the ones I'd be making. You know, my favorite might be cherry, though.
Okay. So yeah, by my count, then, that's at least three and maybe four pies you're going to be doing for the season. And before we get out of here, I should ask, if people want to listen to more pie talk on your program, when can they do it?
Oh, well, you know, I'm not sure the next time we'll be talking pies, but it is on at 11 to 12 on Saturdays on WFYI HD2 and WFYI.org. You can find it anytime under Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio.
Okay, and so it's from 11 to 12 on Saturdays, mm-hmm. right? And they can catch you there. And it isn't just all pies. You talk about all food experiences.
All sorts of local food, yeah.
I should say, too, that we have gotten some wonderful recommendations in terms of places you can go to get pies. I have to scroll down to do this, but Upper Crust Artesian Pies was one of them. Another is Carolina Pie. There is the Inspired by the Fantastic Pie at 420 Blackbirds in Brooklyn, New York. We are making delicious pies at McGowan's Pies here in Indiana. Some of these places deliver, and you likely can find them. So, any last words we would have on pies here, Jolene?
You know, I think maybe probably the most unusual pie I've made is a mock apple pie, which is one of those old-fashioned recipes, and it's made with Ritz crackers instead of pie, instead of apple. So it's mock mm-hmm. apple pie. So the point is that you have your filling, and it's Ritz crackers and cinnamon and lemon and, you know, a syrupy kind of filling. And then you're supposed to think it's apple pie.
That will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank both of my guests, Jolene Ketzenberger and Mary Alice Collins, for a very tasty conversation. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.